There was an increase in the number of complaints to the Ombudsman for Children's Office last year in relation to education. That's according to the Children's Ombudsman annual report for last year, which says the majority of complaints, 75% of them, were about schools and their ability to deal with complaints about how children are treated. Dr. Niall Muldoon is the Ombudsman for Children. Dr. Muldoon, good morning.
Good morning, Gavin.
Why are most complaints to your office from parents about schools? What's going on?
I suppose it's something that we've seen over a number of years is that education is obviously where children spend the most of their time. There's over 500,000 children went back to school this year or this last couple of weeks, and it's where parents and children interact with the public services as more than anywhere else in any one time. They sort of maybe 30 hours a week interacting with it. So I suppose it's not unusual to expect to get complaints. But I suppose this year we're seeing an increase. I think there's an increase in awareness of our offices as well. And I think parents talk to each other. And the issues we're finding are just sort of the fact that, again, schools are independent authorities. They do things differently in every school so that parents can't seem to get a consistency. And that's one of the way our education system has been set up, so that the department can send out circulars, but each school has their own set of policies and procedures to follow.
So what sort of complaints are you getting, and what can you do if a parent or child is unhappy with how they've been treated by a school?
Well, what we do, we're the last resort. So if the parent has gone to a school and made a complaint, and if they're still not happy and they appeal it, we can take a look at it at that point. So we're meant to be a free and independent alternative to court. And the sort of issues that we've seen are things like how schools handle complaints around bullying, how they deal with the allocation of resources, perhaps specifically around special education, how they engage with the curriculum, and how they communicate with parents in general. And then also on a wider basis, we look at the Department of Education, how they engage with schools, and that made up 17% of our cases. And then the other agencies that are involved, so things like the National Council for Special Education or the State Exams Commission, we would look at them as well. So again, it's across the board from admissions all the way through to leaving certain exams.
This report is based on work last year. How has COVID impacted on the complaints to your office this year?
Well, when we come to the end of 2020 and we collate the figures, I'd say we'll see a real increase in education figures, because I think from the very start of COVID, we would have had much more engagement from people, particularly with children themselves or teenagers, especially around the Leaving Cert and the exams. They really made it clear to us that they were really concerned about how the exam system was going to be run, and also about the lack of certainty about whether there would be a Leaving Cert. So we've had a lot of engagement from parents and children in that regard. So I'd say 2020 will be a big number, but COVID itself has also shown highlights or things like the children who are in the vulnerable position to start with, like children with disability, children in poverty, children in traveller Roma communities, are really at the bottom of the pile and find it much more difficult to survive through the COVID scenario. And even now, as we return to school, and I've had a lot of contact from parents of children with disability where the services aren't up and running in the same way, the transport isn't the same, access to SNAs is being compromised. A lot of children are still staying at home because they're nervous about the physical, mental or medical situation. So it's a really, really complicated and difficult scenario for many of our children who are vulnerable to start with. And I think our government and our education system need to make sure that we do not leave them behind as we return to school and move forward again.
As an example, can you tell us about one case in your report? This is a girl without a home whose case that you raised with Tusla.
Yeah, I mean, that's a young girl that was in the care of the state, so we were essentially the parent. She had moved around from a lot of foster situations and other residential settings, but ultimately she found herself being kept in an emergency hostel in city centre, where she was asked to leave at 9 o'clock in the morning, wasn't allowed to come back till 5 o'clock. So again, you're talking about a young teenager hanging around the city centre, found herself in dangerous situations in relation to drugs and alcohol and sexual activity. And it was from our point of view, despite the social workers trying to do everything they could, the fact that the hostel was not 24/7 was really putting her in a dangerous position. We've pushed the case with Tusla, and they moved it to a 24/7 scenario, something which I think is hugely important. But again, it's that lack of planning, that lack of forward planning, and putting our most vulnerable children in somewhere that isn't quite up to scratch is not sufficient anymore. I mean, that child deserved much more from us. If we consider ourselves proper parents and we take a child into care, we have to provide much better services than that.
Has homelessness and its impact on children fallen under the radar, do you think, in recent months?
I think it has, certainly. I mean, it's one of the things we would have, at the start of the year, we would have made three big asks of all the government, or all the political parties and the government formation parties, to ask them to look at homelessness as a crucial part of it. Direct provision was the other one, and mental health. And I think homelessness, while we have found a reduction in homelessness, I think we're down to 8,500 people who are homeless at the moment. There's still nearly 3,000 children in homeless, and I think we still need to push on that. I think there's an opportunity here with the changes in the situation through COVID, and maybe buildings becoming not rented out to multinationals, there could be an opportunity here to try and do something different. But I think we have to keep our eye on that ball, because it is not appropriate for our children to be left homeless and to left without a place that's safe and secure for them to begin to thrive and grow into their full potential.
Niall Muldoon, Ombudsman for Children, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning.